Well, thank you, Perry. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's wonderful to be able to come and share God's word with you again this morning. It's ironic, isn't it, that we've just sang that song, No Longer I Am a Slave to Sin, I Am a Child of God. However, as we look at Romans chapter 7, we actually see a contradiction to that, because we do have the propensity to sin, and our writer Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's laying out a foundation, because this is a young church. It's only been a church for maybe no more than a decade, and the point is this: that Paul wants to get this church on the right track. Because it's so crucial that we hear the word of God. It's so crucial that we follow the leadings and the directions of the Holy Spirit. We can't do God. What Paul is saying to this church is we cannot do God in the flesh, because the flesh is at enmity with God. It rebels against God. How many people have you tried to witness to and they've turned around and said, I don't want to know about that. Oh, I'm not into God. I'm having a good time. I don't need this. We are born sinners. King David said, I was born into sin. We're sinners. And Paul, in his chapter 7, and we'll come on to that later, recognizes his sin in such a heartfelt way. And that's our first challenge this morning. How do we recognize our sin? Are we sorry for our sin? Are we sorry in a selfish way, in a sense that, oh, I've just sinned? Or are we sorry in a repentant way, a godly repentance? There's different types of sorry. We're rebellious, and we can be a slave to sin. Some of these songs, what we sing, you've got to be careful with how you discern them. Paul is laying out a foundation, and he sets his stall out by bringing in a context of marriage. We all love marriage. You know, I've been married for 27 years. Anybody beat that? Come on, let's have a look. How long? 40. Anybody beat 40? More than 40? Put your hand up. 56. 56? 56? Anybody beat 50? 60. Come on, anybody beat 60? Give this man and his wife a round of applause. We all love marriage. But you know, we're born into this world. We live in this world, and we will depart from this world. And Paul uses this illustration of marriage to put across that one day we will go from this world and we will go before God. Our marriage will be over. The Bible says there's no marriage in heaven. We might know each other, I hope we do, but it'll be in a different relationship. And Paul, in the first 7 verses here in Romans 7, he's saying that you, when we get married, that relationship will end. And he's saying to these Jewish people and these Gentile Christians that your marriage to the law is dead. It's gone. You're now in a new relationship. A relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. We know that in marriage, We it's not, I mean, okay, some people have a perfect marriage, but I don't come from that. I've had me ups and me downs in the marriage. And if my, by the way, my wife sends her greeting, she can't be here. We have a visitor from Romania staying with us. But my wife would tell you that we have our ups and downs. And we also have our ups and downs in our new relationship, in our relationship with God. It's not always easy. But Paul is saying to these Jewish and Gentile Christians that this marriage is over with the law. God is doing something new. In Isaiah 59, it says, your sins have cut you off from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. And so God has to do something new. Something brand new. That a lot of people back in that day accepted, but a lot of people refused to accept. In Isaiah 43:19, it says, do not call to mind the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. You do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God was doing a new thing, a new covenant, a better covenant. We love it when God does new things. I love it when God does it. We all love it when God does new things. God is doing new things in this church. God is doing new things in your lives, in your individual lives. If you're alive in the Spirit, if you're praying and seeking God, God will open doors. My Bible says the doors he opens, no one can close. God wants to take you and me on an adventure. That's what Christianity is all about. It's an adventure. And yes, there are trials. Of course they are. There are struggles. Of course they are. But God will give us the strength and the grace, and he will go through us, through those troubles. In fact, he's done more than that. He has sent that advocate. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost. The paraclete, the advocate has come to us. To give us wisdom, to give us instruction, to give us comfort. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? Whew. We need the Holy Spirit. I preached at a church on Pentecost, and my message was this. We do not talk enough about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit desperately. It's like if I've got a Porsche out there and there's no engine in it, it might look good, but it's going nowhere. And it's the same in your life and mine. When people see you, not as a Porsche, but as a person, they can discern. They can tell whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What's coming out of your heart reveals to them where you are. And do you know God uses that? Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're ministering in the Holy Spirit, God will use that to draw all people unto him. The Holy Spirit. Boy, do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do we need to be breathed upon? You know, God breathed his Spirit into the nostrils of Adam. And out came life. Life. What did Jesus say? I've come that you might have life and life to the full. God doesn't want you to have a boring life. God doesn't want you to have a mundane life. God wants you to have a life that's vibrant, that's dynamic, should I say. That's a Christian. Since I've been a Christian, I've had one heck of a dynamic life. Yes, I've been on the mountains, but let me tell you this, I've also been in the valleys. That's a Christian life. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, God is wanting to lead and to guide you through that difficult time. He wants to be part of that time you're on the mountain, where you can glorify him. It's so difficult to glorify him in that valley, but God wants you to do that. Because that brings on maturity, because it allows us to persevere. And when we persevere through a trial, we're getting more mature and we're growing. We're growing up. We're becoming men and women of God. You know, the law of Moses, Paul is pointing out that the law of Moses was highly symbolic, being filled with all types of shadows, all which pointed to Christ and his future atonement. The law was there as a teacher. The law had no power. It couldn't deliver people from sin. All it could do was show them their sin. If you could put that slide up, please, Graham. Next slide. It explained what sin, the Lord explained what sin was. Why? Because Paul says that he realized that he had these sinful passions. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, in verse 5, it says the sinful passions aroused by the law at work in me. And that's what the law does. The law is set out by God. What do we want to do? We want to rebel against that law because of these inward passions that we have. It reveals, it explains what sin is. The law is a teacher. And that's why it was so important. I don't know about you, but... Well, I do know about you because you're the same as me. We all get tempted. We all have these passions. But it's what do we do with these passions that counts? Do we follow them through? Or do we run away from them like Joseph did? Joseph's temptation, obviously, was a sexual temptation. And I know that for many men in here, and it'll come across for women as well, that sexual temptation is one of Satan's top weapons. But you know, in a sense, God allows that because it's a teacher for us. Sexual temptation is a teacher. How often have you been driving, especially when it's summer comes round the corner, doesn't it? I mean, we ain't had much summer yet, have we? But I mean, it was raining when I got here. But the thing, I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden I hear this, oh, look at that girl walking across the road over there. Anybody experienced that? Maybe it's, look at that man over there. Look at his muscles. And it's Alex. We all have these inward passions. But it's not that the passions are wrong in themselves. It's how we respond to them. Because we live in a world that's full of sin. You just have to, I mean, I didn't watch it, but I've heard all about it, the Eurovision Song Contest. Apparently, it was the most darkest thing that was known to man. It was terrible, some of it. Shocking. That's a world. You look at some of these TV programs that are coming out, I Kissed a Girl. We are living in a sinful world. It's just gone crazy. It's always been crazy, but it's crazy today. That's what sin is. The law tells us. You know, it tells us, the law says to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Do we do that? We don't. You know, I was preaching in a town centre the other week, and I'm sharing the gospel, and this person walked past me and growled at me. For dear me, what's that? I tell you, when you preach the gospel, it creates a massive response. In fact, somebody once said, when you share the gospel, the heart of the person is revealed. You'll see people's heart when you share the gospel. Paul was unpacking this message to these Jews and to the Gentiles. He was unpacking it because he wanted to reveal to them that they needed to get onto the right track. They didn't need to get into legalism, because again, that's what the law can do. It can bring you into legalism. Oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do this. I've got to go to church on a Sunday morning. That's not God. You didn't have to come here this morning, but you came here, I hope, because you love the Lord. You came out of your expression of love for the Lord and for one another. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Legalism is terrible. In Jeremiah 31, 33, it says this: "This is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." God was bringing the world out of an opportunity for the world to come out of an old relationship, and especially the Jews and the Gentile Christians, into a new relationship. Yes, to abide by the law, but in a different sense, to do it out of love, to love your neighbour, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. God, Jesus was not against the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The law is important. However, God's grace is huge. And you and I are under grace. The law demanded obedience without giving power to obey. Its rules led to legalism. That's why you get these Pharisees trying to work their way into heaven. Look at all the religions out there that are doing the same, trying to work their way into heaven. There's one religion that states when they get to heaven, they'll get 100 virgins. Come on. I mean, what sort of a gospel is that? Discernment. Heaven is not about a selfish pleasure or an aroused passion. It's about serving a holy God, being in the presence of the Almighty. The Almighty who's justified you by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross, by raising him from the dead, by him ascending into heaven and one day coming back.